Today's shiur is a schus for refuah shleima, for shalom and bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Ksuvos Daf Mem. We will begin on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara begins quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Oine shoyse batzitzai." Somebody who violated a woman, the Torah says, "V'loisi leisha," he has to marry her, even if he doesn't want to marry her. Furthermore, the Torah says that they must remain married. And that's what the Mishnah says, is who shayse batzitzai. He only shayse batzitzai. He has to drink from the flower pot, no matter what the flower pot is. Amalei Rava b'Parazeichel Rav. But asks Rava, what the Mishnah said, however, that a mefata is not obligated to marry her. And moreover, even if he didn't marry her, he has a right to divorce her. So ask Amar Rav Perzukil Rav, Michti, Nigmar Gamri Mahadodi, the halachas of an oynes and a mefata are learned one from the other. So ask the Gemara, as we've been learning many times, we have Xeru Shava between oynes and mefata. So ask the Gemara, Laha Milson Nami Ligmar Mahadodi. So why, as far as this halacha as well, should they not be learned one from the other? And the halacha is that the halacha ought to be that if he wants to, if he doesn't want to marry her, if he wants to divorce her, he should have the right to. Answers the Gemara Amakra. The pasuk says regarding the Torah says regarding a mafata, Meir Yemarena Loy Leisha. And from here we learn Loy Midatoy, that it's up to him, and if he doesn't want to marry her, he doesn't have to. So ask Tosfos, if the word loy, as the Gemara is now suggesting, means to say that it's up to him, so the word loy appears by an oinus too. The Torah says, v'loy si elisha. So ask Tosfos, why don't we say the same halacha should apply here, that he has the right to choose if he wants to marry her or not. So Tosfos answers that, since the Torah says, as we said, by an oinus, lo yuchel l'shach l'kayam, if he can't divorce her, certainly the Torah means to say that he has to marry her. Because if he didn't have to marry her, then how could the Torah say he can't divorce her? Another teretz that the Torah Yisharim suggests, it makes a difference where the word loy appears. By the oinus, the Torah uses the word loy at the beginning of the phrase. The Torah says, v'loy siya li'isha. By a mefata, the Torah uses the word loy at the end of the phrase. Moy yemarenu loy li'isha. So explains the Tosfos Yishonim. When the Torah says, v'loy siya li'isha, the Torah is speaking regarding her. He has to marry her. When the Torah says, moy yemarenu loy, the Torah is speaking to him. If he wants to, he can. The Rabbeinu Yoina also takes the same approach. He says, when the Torah says v'loy si elisha, and the loy is at the beginning of the sentence, so it means that you have to take her as a wife. When the Torah says moy yemarenu loy elisha, so the Torah already said moy yemarenu, that you have to take her as a wife. Why does the Torah have to add the word loy at the end of the phrase to teach us that's midatoy? The flaw says that we already learned from the word v'loy si elisha. We spoke about it when we started learning the sugya of oynes, that v'loy si elisha is coming to teach us b'isha ruyala, that he only has to marry a woman that he's allowed to be married to. So that's why, says the flaw, the loy there by an oynes is already used. So it's not available to teach us loy midatoy. Whereas the loy by mefata, moy merenu loy liisha, is not used, and therefore it's available to teach us the halacha of loy midata. Another teretz that the Yelis Ahuvim answers, the pasuk by oinus says, v'loy si liisha, tachas hashiina. The Torah is saying, why must he marry her? Because of the horrible act that he did to her. It's a punishment. If it's a punishment, we need not ask him his permission. If he did such a horrible act, He must marry her. It's not up to him to say no. So we learned in the Mishnah, Keisha Shoyso about Tzitzoy. What does that mean? The Nimtza Dover Erva. If this woman, there's a Dover Erva, or she ain't a royal lover of Yisrael, or she's a woman that you're not allowed to marry, then he can't, he doesn't marry her. Because it has to be, as we said, a Isha Haruy Lovelai. So, ask the Gemara, and as the Tosfos explains, the Gemara's question is, in the case that this woman is a mamzeres, the halacha is that the Mishnah is teaching us, as much as he has an obligation to marry her, he doesn't have that obligation if she's a mamzeres, because there's an isser to to marry mamzeres. As says the Gemara, Amrav Kahana, Amrisal Kshmatza Kamedra of Zidman Adob, I was saying over this Gemara to Rav Kahan, to Rav Zvid, and he asked me, Nesei, let the mitzvahs say of Loisi Elisha, Minetcha Loisa say, we've learned many times that there's a rule throughout Shas of Esei Doicha Loisa say. And therefore, the Esei of Loisi Elisha should be Doicha, the Loisa say, for if she is a Mamzeris. Amali, so Rav Zvid said to me, Hey Chaminen, where do we say the concept of the Nase Esse Venet Chalaisa say? He says, in a case of a Mila B'Tzaras. The Torah says, Hishama Menega Tzaras Lishma Ma'oi. A person has to be careful not to tamper if he has a Tzaras on his body. And now we have an issue. There's a person who has to have a Bris Mila, and you have also a Tzaras on that place. So we have the Esse of Mila, is doicha the loisa say, and it's a situation the loy efshla kiyumilai say. I can't sustain both, and since I can't sustain both, there's a rule of esed doicha loisa say. Aval hacha regarding this woman, that even though the Torah says esed doicha loisa say, if this woman says the imer the loybina, if she says I don't want to marry him, miyisal esed klal, then there's no esed. So there are many pshatim. Before we say those pshatim, Tosfos points out that Mila B'Tzaras actually should not be mentioned. Because Mila B'Tzaras is actually involves an essay and a lois essay, taking off the Tzaras. And the Gemara says that the reason that we say essay doicha lois essay, even though it's not a situation of essay doicha lois essay, says Tosfos, it's because there's a special limud. So therefore Tosfos says the Gemara is not asking from Mila B'Tzaras. The Gemara is asking from Klein B'Tzitzis, as we discussed quite extensively when we learned Masechta Yevamos, that even though there's a mitzvah, if there's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis and there's an issa to wear klayim, esed doicha loisa say, and wear the klayim. Now the Gemara, and that's why the Gemara says, here it's not a good example of esed doicha loisa say, and there are different explanations in the Rishonim what the Gemara means to say. Rashi explains that we tell the woman in this circumstance where she's a mamzeres, say you don't want to marry her. And not only say you don't want to marry her, the Rishonim say, we force her to say, I don't want to marry him. If she doesn't want to marry him, there's no essay, doicha loisa say situation, because she's not obligated to fulfill. Tosfos, along the same line, says that when do we say, as we've been explaining, the concept, the rule of esed doicha loisa say. We say the rule of esed doicha loisa say where it's impossible to have both. So that's where the rule says that esed is stronger than loisa say. But if it's possible to have both, says Tosfos, under those circumstances, the Torah never said the rule of esed doicha loisa say. And since the case that we are discussing is such a case, because if she always has the option of saying, I don't want to marry him. So therefore, it becomes a situation where the rule of Esei Doicha Loisa say doesn't apply. Tosfos Yeshanim has a different approach. Tosfos Yeshanim says, the mitzvah Loisa say of a mamzeres marrying Yisrael applies both to the Yisrael and to the mamzeres. But the mitzvah say of Loisi Elisha is only a mitzvah say to him. So yes, when do we say Esei Doicha Loisa say, says the Tosfos Yeshanim? As we've been learning, I have two options. I could do the Esei or the Loisa say. So there's Halacha Esei Doicha Loisa say. But if I don't have a if I don't have an essay, then of course I may not violate the lois essay. So the man indeed doesn't have a lois, doesn't has both an essay of a lois elisha and a lois essay. He's not allowed to marry a mamzeris. But the woman who was violated only has the lav of a lois elisha. She doesn't have the essay. It's only the lav of a mamzeris, and she doesn't have the essay of lois elisha. So there we don't say essay. And therefore, that's the halacha here. So the Rishonim ask that from here we see that the woman has a right, since the woman has a right, and Tosfos added, not just only has a right, we insist she exercise that right, that's why she should exercise that right, and say, I don't want to marry you, and then there wouldn't be a mitzvah of lois elisha. So Tosfos Rid asks, that in Masechet Yevamos, we learned when we spoke about doing Yibum on a woman that you're also to, and we discussed that the essay of Yibum is Doicha Delois essay. Why don't we say over there as well, as Tosfos, that she should say, I don't want to have Yibum. And if I don't want to have Yibum, there's no mitzvah essay of Yibum. So from here we see, says Seder Rishonim, that the mitzvah of Yibum is the mitzvah of Yibum is a mitzvah on both the man and the woman. In other words, they explain, it's very different from the example in our Gemara. In our Gemara, we just finished quoting Tosfos Yeshanim, the mitzvah of Lois Elisha is only on the man, not on the woman. And therefore, the woman doesn't have a conflict of essay and a Lois essay. But in the mitzvah of Yibum, those Rishonim say that the mitzvah of Yibum is a mitzvah on the woman as well. And it's a mitzvah that's incumbent on the woman. Since it's a mitzvah that's incumbent on the woman as well, so that's why we don't say, that's why we can't use the same concept as we did in our Gemara. So ask Tosfos Yeshanim another question. One of the famous psukim in the Torah, if the Torah says that even though there's a mitzvah say of kibud av v'aim, but if somebody's parent tells him to be mechalel Shabbos, he shouldn't listen to what the parent says. But ask Tosfos Yeshanim, if we're learning in our Gemara that any mitzvah say is not a mitzvah say that it's not a mitzvah say on which we say esay doicha lois say, because it's not a mitzvah say that must be performed. So we don't say Esa Doicha Lois Esay. If the father changes his mind, so then there's no mitzvah Esay. So that's not the kind of mitzvah Esay, as Tosfos Yeshanim, based on what we're learning in our Gemara, that we apply the concept of Esa Doicha Lois Esay. So the Chasam Sofer, in explaining what Tosfos Yeshanim answers, says that once a parent tells a child to do something, he immediately has a mitzvah Esay. Yes, the parent may change his mind, but even if the parent changes his mind, the moment he said that, there was a mitzvah to say. And that's why we need a special limud to say that kochem chayiv b'kvoidi. And that's why we have to have a special limud and not say, well, it's not such a strong mitzvah to say because he always could change his mind. Moreover, the Rama answers. In our Gemara, if this woman says, I don't want to marry her, so that's it. She doesn't marry him, and the mitzvah is over. But a mitzvah kibud av v'aim, even if the father told him to do an aveira, and then the father indeed can change his mind, should change his mind, that doesn't mean, explains the Rama, that the mitzvah asay of kibud av v'aim is not here anymore. It may not be here in this specific case, and that's why it's not the same as our Gemara. The Tzais gives a different answer. The Tzai says that the reason we need a special limud, that by kibud av v'aim, if a parent tells a child to do something which is against the Torah, he should do what Hashem says and not what the Torah, not what the parent says, is because he explains, since we find in so many places how seriously the Torah takes the mitzvah kibud av v'aim, the schar of kibud av v'aim, l'man yirichin yomecha, the Gemara says that hukish kibud av v'aim lekivud amakim, that the Torah connects these two mitzvahs, the kivud of a parent, the kivud amakim, we would say that even though this is not a classical example of essay doichalos say, based on the explanation that we've been learning in our Gemara, but still, the mitzvah kibbutz of aim is such an important mitzvah that we should have to do it under all circumstances. That's why the Torah had to have a special lima. However, the Chasam Sofer gives a different explanation. He says our Gemara, as we just extensively have explained our Gemara, is actually teaching us conditions in the rule of kibbutz and mitzvah and the rules of Esed Doichalos Asei. He says, where do we learn that condition? That the mitzvah the rule of Esed Doichalos Asei only applies in a case where you have to do the mitzvah Asei. He explains that that's exactly what we learn, the source for learning that halacha, he explains, is exactly what we're learning in our Gemara. Because in our Gemara, the loisi elisha, given the various explanations we have given, is not absolutely necessary. So we see from here that the mitzvah of the rule of esed doichalos asei does not apply in a situation where it's absolutely necessary that it should apply. It only applies where the esed and the loisi asei both have to be fulfilled. If they both don't have to be fulfilled, we don't say esed doichalos asei. Where do we learn that from? Says the Chasam Sofer, we learn it from our Gemara. Because the concept that we've been learning in our Gemara is that because since she could decline and say, I don't want to marry him, and by her declining, there's no mitzvah loisi elisha. Similarly, by the mitzvah kibbutz of aim, since the parent could always change their mind, that's why it's not a case to say esed doichalos asei, and that's what the Torah meant to say with that limud of kulchem chayovim b'kvaydi. Says the Mishnah, Yesoima, if there's a girl that doesn't have a father, she nis'arsa nisgasha, and or another case, we have a girl who was nis'arsa and then was nisgasha, but she's still a nara, and somebody violated her or was mefata her. Reb Lezer Omer Oynos Chayiv. Reb Lezer says that he has to pay the knas mefata, but the mefata doesn't have to pay the knas. And as we're going to see in the shir, that the mefater doesn't have to pay because since he's paying her and she was a willing participant, so we say that she was meichel her opinion. We learned on Daf Lamed Ches a three-way machlokes regarding Narish and Arsav and Nisgarsha. One opinion is that she doesn't get knas. One opinion is that she gets knas and she keeps it. And the third opinion was that the knas goes to her father. From the way Rabbi Lazar is saying, Ha'inus Chayiv, that he has to pay the knas, do we see that he's following the opinion that as arsav and as garsha, the opinion of Rekiva in the Mishnah, that the knas goes to her. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Babachana, and says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that's what Rabbi Lazar means to say, Rishitas Rabbi Kiva Amra, he's following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, unlike Rabbi Yosef Glili, whose opinion was the Amar Yesh Leknas, that she is entitled to knas, but the knas goes to herself, and that's what Rabbi Lezer says, that by oinus she gets the knas, and by mefata not. Ask the Gemara Mai, why are you explaining the Gemara, what makes you explain that that is the opinion of Rabbi Lezer? As we said, there's a three-way machlokes. What makes you say that that's the opinion of Rabbi Lezer's following? Says the Gemara, Midiktani, Yisayma, Rabbi Lezer oimer chaynus chayv mefata potter. Ask the Gemara, Yisayma, pshita, it's obvious that the Yisayma, who was a mefuta, who was convinced, who was seduced, the knas goes to herself. And therefore, the knas ought to go to herself. And because she agreed to this act, she doesn't deserve it. Ella kamashmalan. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? It says the Gemara, Ella kamashmalan, the narish nis'arsav nis'garsha, that the narish nis'arsav nis'garsha, Rabbi Lazar is not coming to teach us the din of the Yusayma. He's coming to teach us that a girl who's nis'arsav nis'garsha is treated like a Yusayma. And just like by Yusayma, certainly, if a Yusayma was violated, the knas goes to herself because she doesn't have a father. Af narish nis'arsav nis'garsha, Rabbi Elazar is teaching us the knas goes la'atzma. Amra, Amr Rav Zeira, Amr Rav Ashela, Amr Rav Hamluna Saba, Amr Rav Adbar Hava Amr Rav, Halacha Rav Elazar. That is indeed the halacha, that an ara shenis arsav and nizgasha knosa la'atzma. And says the Gemara, Kar Rav Aleder Rav Elazar, Rav, when he referred to Rav Elazar, called him Tuvaini de Chachimi, the greatest Talmud Chacham. And of course, many Rishonim, the Rashban, many Rishonim say all Rabbi Kiva was, all Rabbi Elazar was doing was paskening like Rabbi Kiva, which makes sense given that Rabbi Elazar was Rabbi Kiva's Talmud. And moreover, why was he called Tovina de Chachmoy? Tovina mi de Chachmoy means he's the greatest Talmud Chacham. Yes, he's a Talmud Chacham, but what makes him Tovina de Chachmoy, the greatest Talmud Chacham? Says the Rashba, because what Rabbi Elazar did was take the opinion of Rabbi Kiva and not just leave it as a dry halacha, but rather what he did was he took Rabbi Kiva's halacha and he applied it, he gave a why to Rabbi Kiva. Since he gave the explanation like Rabbi Kiva, that's why he's considered Tavina de Chachmoy. Another teretz, the Rashba suggests, is as we said earlier, and we learned the Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches, there's actually a machlokes between the Mishnah and the Braisa. What is Rabbi Kiva's opinion? Does it go to her, to a father? So they're saying Rabbi Elazar was very, very smart here. Because if he would have said halach Rabbi Kiva, it wouldn't have helped us much. Because we don't know which opinion Rabbi Kiva is he following. Is it Rabbi Kiva of the Mishnah that we learned? Or is it not this Mishnah, the previous Mishnayis? Or is it the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that we learned in the Braisa? By explaining, by explicitly saying that the kanas goes to herself, that's why he was saying not just halacha Rabbi Kiva, which would leave us still very ambiguous. We would know that the halacha is. Similarly, I saw that the Achrayim say by saying I'm a fata potter, it's much easier to understand, and he was helping us understand the difference between an oinus and a mafata. Another pshat that I saw the Yamsha Shloimeh suggests. We see that he compares the Narish and his Arsav and his Garisha to Yosaima. What's he doing with that? To teach us that not only is the Knas go to her, but also the Boishes of Agam, which are paid, as we're going to be learning quite extensively, oh, if she doesn't have a father, they go to her. Says the Mishnah. Ezer Boishes, says the Gemara, we just said, by Oinus and Mefata, Boishes has to be paid. So how do we determine that? Says the Gemara, Hakol fiyah hav mevayish mezbayish. We look at the person who did, who made the embarrassment, and we look at the person who was embarrassed. And Rashi explains, an important person, unfortunately, has the tendency of not treating people that respectfully. So if he treated somebody disrespectfully, there isn't that much bayishes. And also, if an unimportant person embarrasses somebody, most people don't pay that much attention to what unimportant people do. So that's one factor. And similarly, we look at the person who was embarrassed. If an important person who's embarrassed, that's something quite significant. Somebody who's not that important, who's embarrassed, it's not such a big deal. So we see here the concept of Hakol fi hamizbayish v'hamizbayish. The Torah says that when the brothers of Dina, particularly Shimon and Levi, went out to take revenge in the city of Shechem, the pasuk says, "Ashtimu achoysam," says the Arachayim Hakadosh. Why does the Torah have to repeat "Ashtimu achoysam"? We all know by reading the Torah what happened there. Why does the Torah have to say "Ashtimu achoysam"? Says the Arachayim, the Torah is explaining the act of Shimon Alevi. Shimon Alevi took very serious measure in taking revenge in the city of Shechem. And the Pasuk itself is wondering, why did they take such serious act? So the Torah says, Ashtimu achoysam. Let's think about who got harmed here, who was violated. Dina, the sister, the daughter of Yaakov, the sister of the Shvatim. And there, in such a situation, very serious measures must be taken to deal with such a horrible, horrible situation. Similarly, I saw that the pasuk says when Klai Yisrael was a Mitzrayim, v'gamri isis alachatz asher Mitzrayim loichatzim. Says the Be'er Mayim Chayim that what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? On one hand, who were the people that were being oppressed? Klai Yisrael. And who, on the other hand, who were the people that were oppressing them? Mitzrayim, a very low-level people. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I realize when they come to such a situation that the oppressor is such an insignificant person and the oppressed is such a great person, I must do something. Similarly, as Sura Chavetz Chaim explains, the Pasuk says, many people say this Pasuk every day, Zochar Asher Asher Hashem LeMiriam. Says the Chavetz Chaim, Miriam was a very great person. Miriam was a Neviah. Miriam was the individual that the bear came to all of Klai Yisrael and Hatzchus. She was the individual that saved Moshe Rabbeinu when he was in the river of Nilus in that basket. Says the Torah, Zechar Asher Asher Hashem LeMiriam. Look who the person we're talking about. Such a great person. And even though she's such a great person, if she speaks Lashon Hara, it doesn't make a difference. She deserves punishment. The Vnei Yisoschar explains that the Chayvus Halvavus says the Chassidim HaRishonim, the early Chassidim, Kol Yemeim B'Tshuva Afil Avira Achas. Even if they did just one sin, they kept on doing tshuva their whole life for that sin. So, ask the Bnei Yisoschar, we know the power of tshuva, and we know that this wonderful gift, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us, is of tshuva. Why, if a person indeed did a serious tshuva, does he have to do tshuva his entire life? So he explains that we just learned in our Gemara, Hakulafia Mevayis or Mizbayish. When we look at a situation of somebody doing something to hurt someone else, we have to look at who are the parties involved. If a person did an Aveira against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a terrible, terrible situation when a person does an Aveira against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we have to look at who is the person that did the Aveira. And if the person who did the Aveira is not such a great person, so it's the sin is not going to be considered such a significant sin. On the other hand, when the person who did the Aveira is a great person, then the sin is considered a much more significant sin. So explains the Bnei Yisoschar. A person did an Aveira, and a person did tshuva. Part of the process of a person doing tshuva is not just that he did tshuva on the Aveira, it's that he becomes a better person. He becomes a more serious person. He becomes a Baal tshuva. And as the Gemara says, "B'makom shebali tshuva oimdim, ain tzadikim gemurim yichayim lamed." Nobody could stand where tzadikim, where Baal tshuva are. So now the tshuva that he did yesterday, when he wasn't on the level that he is today, is not a sufficient tshuva. Because it's not a sufficient tshuva for a person who's such a great person. So every day as he grows, the tshuva of the previous day is insufficient. And that's why the Chayvus Halvavus says you have to continue doing tshuva even for that one aveira forever. Continues the Mishnah. What's pagam? Says the Gemara, Roy and I saw. We look at this scenario. Kila shifcha nimkeres b'shuk. As if she was a shifcha sold in the market. Kama yoyse yofa. How much was she worth before she was nivala? The kama yofa. And how much she's worth now? And that's how we figure the begam. Knas, that we said, Shav b'chol Adam, the Torah gives one amount under all circumstances. And adds the Tana, the call, Sheesh l'kitzum in the Torah, whenever the Torah speaks about a knas, which is a standard by everybody, Shav b'chol Adam, it's equal to everyone, says the Gemara. The Gemara says that besides for having to pay the knas, you also have to pay boishes megam. But ask the Gemara, why would we say so? Maybe the 50 slime that we pay includes all obligations. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, because people cannot accept such a situation. Amar Rav Zeira, Yoimru, Baal Bas Melachim Chamishim, if somebody violated a very important woman, he has to pay chamishim shkolim. And then if he did bal bas hamotis, it's the same chamishim. Doesn't make any sense. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, Ihachi, if that's you, that's a legitimate question, Gabi Oved. The halacha is that if a shor hamuad killed an eved kanani, the halacha is im eved yigach hashor oy oma, kesef shloshim shalom yitei la'adonav. The Torah says he has to, the owner of the animal has to pay shloshim shkolim. And again, says the Gemara, with your line of reasoning, yomer eved noike magolius, a person who worked with diamonds, with precious stones, was considered a very important job, a very high-paying job, and we pay him shloshim. And then we have an eved oisa masa machet, somebody who just does simple tailoring. You're also going to pay the same shloshim? It doesn't make any sense. Elam, that's why, says the Gemara. So, and we don't pay anything more. So just because you see that everybody gets paid the same, that isn't a reason to say that the woman who was violated is also entitled to Boshes Begam. Elam Rav Zeira, says Rav Zeira, in Baal Oshnayim, if, and this is Tosfos' Pshat, if two men violated a woman, Ech Kedarka Vech Shloi Kedarka. So as Tosfos explains, the first man violated her Shloi Kedarka. So she's still a psula technically. So then when the second man violated her, he violated her, and he violated Kedarka. So certainly, violating a woman to the degree that she's no longer a psula is much more of a serious situation than violating her to a degree that she still is a psula. So Yom Rebal Shlema, that the first woman who was violated, that she's still Shlema, is Chamishim, and Baal Peguma Chamishim, that's the way Tosfos learns. It doesn't make sense that the man who was Baal Shloi Kedarka should be fined the same as the man who was Baal Kedarka. That's how Tosfos learns the Gemara. Rashi learns the Gemara differently. Rashi learns that what the Gemara means to say is, if you have two women who were violated, and one was violated Kedarka, and one was violated Shloi Kedarka, the Gemara's question is, it doesn't make sense to the Gemara that both of these women should be, get the same amount of kanas. Certainly the woman who was violated Kedarka, it's a much more serious act, and there should mean the kanas should not be the same. So if we include the Boshes Begam separately, we could understand. So say the same thing by an Eved. Gaben Eved Nami, Yoimru, Eved Bari, if a shor killed a healthy Eved, we're paying Shloshim, and Eved Mekushchen, and if the Eved is not healthy, we'll say Shloshim Shkolim. Why would we say the same? Elam Abai. So we see that that's the way fines are administered, even though maybe logically it doesn't make sense. So that, where's the proof, still asked the Gemara, that Boishas Abagama paid separately? Elam Abai Amakra, the Pasuk says, regarding the woman who was violated, V'nosan Ish, Hashoychiv ima lavia nara, chamishim kesev lois siya leisha tachas she'ina. So we see from here that the kanas is paid tachas she'ina. B'chlal, the ikka boishas begam, the boishas begam is paid separately. Rava has a different reason how we know that the boishas begam are paid separately. Amakra, v'nosan ish hashoychiv lavia nara, chamishim kesev. So we see chano shchiva, for the act of shchiva, there's a payment of chamishim. Bechlal, separately, there's Ikka Boshes Begam. Ask the Gemara Ve'emel Elidah, what, maybe that payment should go to her. Why does it go to the father? Amakra, the Torah says, B'nureh B'Savia. From here we learn, Kol Shvach Nureh, any financial payment that she's entitled to, that goes Lavia. Ask the Gemara, Elohad Amarav Hun Amarav. How do we know if a girl earns money? The money belongs to her father, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, the father has a right to, the Torah speaks about the father and the husband. Just like a woman who's a maid, Masya Dela Rabba, Afbas Masya Dela Rabba. Did it say, Lomeli? But ask the Gemara, why do we need a special limud, that what she earns goes to a father, typically, why don't we learn it from the pasuk that we're quoting here? Abinurea beis aviyah, that all the shvach nurim goes to her father. So certainly, anything she earns should go to her father. Why do we need a special pasuk? Says the Maralahi, because the pasuk of Abinurea beis aviyah refers to Nedura Ahudiksev. That's speaking about the father's right to annul her nedarim. So we'll say if the father has a right to annul her nedarim, shouldn't that be a proof that he also gets all of her earnings? Says the Gemara, we have a rule in Shas, Mimonim Mesura Lo Yapinan. So ask the Rav, Chitay Menelef Miknasa, why don't we learn from the halacha that we've been learning in our Shurim, that if somebody was Ma'anis or Mafata girl, the Knas goes to the father, so shouldn't that be a raya that all payments go to the father? Answers the Gemara, Hilchas Knas is separate. And the Shita asks, why don't we ask this question right away? And the Shita says, the Gemara always knew that Knas, that it's better to learn from Hafaras Nadarim. When that didn't work, the Gemara answered this question. El Mistabra, the view, why do we say the Boishas Begam goes to the father? Because since if the father wanted the boy, he can marry her off to whoever he wants, and the husband will pay, and as Rashi explains, and when he marries her off to that type of man that nobody wants to marry, the man will have to pay the father, and the father has a right to take that money. So since the father has a right to take that money, the extra money, Tosfos Rosh says it's not just the extra money, the basic kesef kedushin of such a girl goes to the father, not to the girl. That's why the Bosh Begam goes to the father. So we learned in the Mishnah, how do we assess the Begam? We look at her if she was sold as a Shivcha. What would she be worth if she was not violated versus she was violated? Says the Gemara, so how do we actually do that assessment? What is the difference in value between a Shivcha and a Besula and Beula? L'shamshay. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Shif Shibulu L'mshamshay may nafkalimina. L'mshamshay means to work. Is there a difference in the quality of the work if she's a Be'ula B'sula? Says the Gemara, El Shamim, Ben Shifcha Be'ula L'shifcha She'ena Be'ula L'siya L'avdai. We know that the Torah says that the owner could give a Shifcha Kananis to his Eved as a wife. And there's a difference in value if the Shifcha is a B'sula Be'ula, if he wants to give her as a wife to his Eved. Ask the Gemara, La'avdai man nafkalimina. What's the difference to the Eved in if she's going to be his wife, if she's a Besula or a Be'ula? Answers the Gemara, we're talking here about a case, Be'eved sheyesh lo l'rabbi kairos roach himena. The owner likes the servant, he's a good servant, and he wants to give him a treat. And marrying a Besula and having that act of first bia with a Besula is something particularly valuable. And since it's particularly valuable, says the Gemara, that's something he's willing to pay extra for. And that extra value is how we assess the Begam. Says the Mishnah, Kol makom sheyesh macher, wherever the father has a right to sell off the daughter, ein knas, which means a girl who's a ketana to be sold by her father as a shivch, as a amavriya, such a girl is not entitled to knas. Become makom sheyesh knas, wherever the girl is entitled to knas that we're discussing for a nara, oynas apita, ein mecher. So what the Mishnah is saying is that a ketana doesn't get knas and a nara does get knas. Ketana, explains the Mishnah, yesh le mecher ve'en le knas. Nara, yesh le knas ve'en le mecher. Have abigeris. So once a girl comes to the category of being abigeris, ein le mecher ve'en le knas, she's not entitled to anything. Tosfos Yontif says that even though usually when the Mishnah states such a rule like kol makom, it's coming to add something, here there's nothing that the Mishnah wants to add. The Melechus Shleima says that what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that not just a regular girl, but also a girl who's a cherishoita or islandess are entitled to these payments like any other girl. Says the Gemara, Amar Yudah Marav, the opinion that we just learned in our Mishnah represents Zudivir Remeya, represents the opinion of Remeya. Aval Chama Imrim, Yesh Le Knas V'Mokam Mecher. The Chacham's opinion is that even a Tana is entitled to Knas and also could be sold by a father. The Tana, and the Gemara quotes a Braisa that expresses this machlokes or may of the Chacham. The Braisa teaches us, Ketana mebas yor mecha v'achatovish dey saris, yesh to mecha v'en leknas. She's only, until she, that means, until she's a Nara, she could be sold, but she's not entitled to knas. M'shatovish dey saris v'shtet bugger, that means she's a Nara, yesh leknas, she's entitled to knas, her father's entitled to knas, v'en lemecha, but she's too old to be sold, divir emeya. Shaira Meya Omer, as we just learned in our Mishnah, Kamakum Shesh Mecher, any daughter that a father could sell off, a Ketana, and Knas is not entitled to Knas, the Kamakum Shesh Knas, a Nara, a Macher can be sold. The Chom Omer, but the Chomim disagree, and they say Ketana Mivash Shloishan V'yamechad, a Ketana from when she's 3 years old. The Chomim agree that a Ketana that's below 3 years old is not entitled to Knas, because as we always learn, the bia of a katana that's under 3 years old is really not halachically considered a bia, because besulah chayzerim, ach tibagar, until she's a begaris, all those years, she's entitled to knas. Knas in, says the Gemara. The Chacham said, katana v'ashal shan v'yamecha yesh le knas. So ask the Gemara, do the Chacham mean to say, knas in mechaloi, that she's only entitled to knas, but the father may not sell her? The Torah, ask the Gemara, that can't be, because the Torah says very clearly that a father has a right to sell his daughter. Ema, says the Gemara, what the way to interpret what the Chacham is saying, af knas b'makamecher, she's entitled to both knas, and the father has a right to sell her. Amar chizda mai tamad Rameya, what's the reason for Rameya? So the Shita asks, Rameya reasoning is very easy. The Torah says, La vi hanara. So why would we think that a Ketana should be entitled? Rameya's opinion is really what the Pasuk is saying. So the Shita gives two answers. Maybe when the Torah says Nara, says the Gemara, all it means is to exclude a Begeris. Why are you, Rameya, saying that it excludes a Ketana? Another question that Rameya keeps on connecting the mecher, the fact that the father could sell it, to the fact that she's not entitled to knas. And the Gemara's question, says the Shita, is from where does Rameya take this connection? So again, Amar Rav Chisda Mai Tamad Rameya, Amar Krav V'loy Siel Atz Lisha. The Torah says V'loy Siel Isha, but Mehava Atzma Kasa Medaber. Only a girl who can marry herself off, and that is a Nara, but not a Ketana who can't marry herself off. Rabbanan, how do they know that a Ketana is entitled to Knas? Answers, Rishlok Amr Shlokish Amakra, Nara. The Torah says Nara without the hay. When we look in the Pasuk, that the Torah says, V'nosan Isha Shaykhulav Ima Lavia Nara Kamishim Kesef, it says Nara missing the last hay. From here we learn, Afilu Ketana B'mashma, that she's not a Nara, she's still a Ketana. Says the Gemara, Shamra Papa Breder of Chachanim Bei Kaluchas. He heard what Rish Lakish said, that whenever it says Nara without the hay, it means a Ketana. Ozel Amr Kameder of Simi Barashi. So he went and said over this what he just learned to Simi Barashi. Amalei, Atena Hamas Nisalei. You learned this rule regarding this halacha about if a Ketana is entitled to Knas. He said, Ana Hamas Nisalei. Amr Rish Lakish, Hamotzi Rish Shemra al Ketana. That if somebody marries a Ketana, and as we mention often, there's first Erusin and then the Suin, and he comes with a claim that she had an adulterous relationship while she was a Rusa, Potter, the halacha is that Maitzi Shemra has to pay a Knas, a Mei Shkolim, he's Potter. Shenemar, V'nasin Lavi HaNara, and the parasha of Maitzi Shemra, the Torah uses the word Nara with a hay. So we learn from here, Nara Mole Dibakasov, that this halacha explicitly speaks about a girl who was a Nara. A Nara, not less. Maskla Radibar Hava, Tam the Kosrachmono, Ketan Nara. So you're saying the reason why Ketana is not entitled to the payment of a Maitzi Shemra is because the Torah uses a Nara with a hay. Halav Hachi. If not for that, have a mina feel a Ketana. Can you say a Ketana? V'ksiva emes hoya adova, le nimtza psulim lanara. V'oitzi es anara pesach v'esaviv esakluah. And the Torah, so he says, the Torah is saying that if indeed this girl did this adulterous relationship, she should be killed. Now, how can we say that it could be mentioning a ketana? Ketana la bais oinshin hu, says the Gemara, el kan. We could see from here, kan. The Torah says, nara, by Moitzi Shemra, to show us that by Moitzi Shemra, she must be a nara, because otherwise, why would she get punished? To teach us, so we see, without any question, that the parish of Moitzi Shemra was only set to a nara. And in the parish of Moitzi Shemra, the Torah says, nara with a hay. To teach us that when a nara without a hay is mentioned, hakomakim shenema nara without a hay, afilo b'ktana b'mashma, and comes to include a ktana in getting that payment. And from there, we learn that the ktana, the chacham say, is entitled to the full payment.